8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Talk to Me here on Knotfest.com. As always, I'm Joshua Toomey, joined by the one and only Chris Aiken. Chris, how are we doing this week?
Oh, splendid.
Well, you've had another doctor's appointment, so update us on the doctor's appointments.
Well, this was an interesting one, man. I've been doing better. The arm has been doing a lot better. It's not healed by any stretch of the imagination. If I was given a percentage, I would say 40% maybe, which is up from the 0% where I started. Right. But it's still pretty fucked. So I got to where I was like, all right, I'm not having to use ice as much. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to choose today, this morning, to actually try and do some work. Now, to remind people, this is week number 6. Okay. And I quite literally, not figuratively, not I'm exaggerating, I have spent 23 hours a day in bed for the last 6 weeks, day and night, working with a laptop with one hand and the finger mouse, just to keep my fucking arm steady. The only time I'm up, quite honestly, is to do this show, to do most of the Chris Aiken Presents, and that's it. You know, all the rest, even CMS, I did from bed without a picture. I mean, that's just, and day work, forget it. Day work has been done solely in bed. So I was feeling better, and I was like, fuck it, let me get up and, you know, I'm going to give it a go today. And by give it a go, I literally, to try and make this work, I bought a bunch of equipment. I bought a new kind of mouse. I bought a vertical mouse, which is allegedly for this kind of injury, you know, how your hand is flat like this, you know, okay, with a regular mouse, it's tipped like this so that you have a more normal motion in your arm and in your shoulder. It's better for your shoulder. Bought the new mouse. I bought this, I don't know what you call this thing. It's some kind of an adapter. You connect it to a desk. You rest your elbow in it, and it swings, but it keeps your level so that there's no gravity. It's like there's no gravity on your shoulder. It like stabilizes your shoulder when you're working. So I bought that. I literally bought bigger keyboards for my computers because they don't want me using what I'm using in here. This, the little tiny one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, they don't want me using where I'm crunched. They want me to spread out and use a bigger, like the ergonomic keyboard. So I bought the keyboards, bought all this fucking gear. I'm feeling good. Today's the day, man. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do some work.
Yeah.
Got up like 6:30 in the morning. I sat down in front of the computer, knew what I had to do. I start doing it. I was like, I got to get 2 hours, just 2 hours. All I want to do. I get to the 90-minute mark. It's not hurting too terribly bad, but I could feel it creeping back in. So I was like, you know what? Let me get up, because one of the things I've had to keep doing every hour is take a little stroll around my house just so I don't get blood clots or something in my legs from laying down for 6 straight weeks. You know, so I get up, I stroll around the house a little bit. I get 20 feet maybe down my hallway. My arm feels like it felt day one. All of a sudden, shooting tremendous fucking pain to where I literally stopped in the hallway, ran back to the bed and laid down as quick as I could.
Dove from the hallway.
I pretty much did and just dove back into the bed and, you know, and just, you know, sat there, took a handful of aspirins and was like, oh, please let this fucking stuff stop. Right. So I decided that's it. I'm done with this. I've been waiting. It ain't fixing. I call the doctor and I said, look, this isn't working. I need a second opinion. I need a cortisone shot. That's really what I need. I need you to hit this thing with cortisone shot. So they said, fine. They make me an appointment. I go, or they didn't even make me an appointment. They sent me to urgent care because the thought was, at least in urgent care, I could get some of the testing done And then if they had to send me, they could send me almost ER style to a specialist today. So I go to urgent care and I get in and, you know, they're nice enough, but they know I'm fucking dying in pain. So they get me back in the room, take my temperature. First thing, they take my vitals. And with the vitals that you're in a hospital. So now, even though the rest of the world has figured it out, the hospital still needs the mask, which, right, as you know, I did not wear when it was a thing.
Right.
So me in a mask for any long period of time is just not a good. I think the longest I ever wore a mask in the whole COVID was 2 hours. In the entire 3 years of COVID, I think the longest stretch I ever wore a mask was 2 hours. And that was once. So me with a mask on today, not good. So they take me in, they're doing the vitals, and I'm pissy because I'm hurting, I'm in a bad mood. And the lady's like,
"You're being a bitch."
She says, "Is your oxygen level always this low?" And I'm looking at her, I'm like, "I don't know. What is it?" Yeah, I mean, do you know what your oxygen level normally is?
Well, yeah, everybody knows that, Chris.
Come on. That was my point. She's like, "You're only at 94. I'm like, "That's still an A in most grade books. You know, right. That's fine with me."
You're like 94 out of what?
Yeah, out of 1,000 or out of 100. I mean, there's a big range here. But she said that my oxygen was low. And then I said, "Well, you see, I'm wearing a mask, right?" She goes, "Oh, okay." On she goes with that. Then she's like, "Well, your blood pressure is 153 over 70. That's a little high." I was like, "Gee, I don't." And this is where I start getting snarky. I was like, "Gee, do you think maybe it's because I'm at a 5 or 6 level pain that my heart's beating a little faster?" She's like, "Well, that could make sense." I was like, "Okay, write that down too." You know, I was like, "Jesus fucking Christ, get to it." So she's like, you know, now I've pissed off the nurse. So I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna be sitting here for fucking 18 hours because I even texted you this morning. I was like, "I don't know if I'm gonna make it." That was at like
right 10 yeah, that was early
or something. And I was like, "I don't know, I'm gonna be out of here. They're gonna run the full battery on me." But so she leaves, and maybe 10 minutes later, doctor comes in. He is one of these. First of all, he looks like an old school teacher, like a school teacher that would be teaching home ec. Or not home ec, economics.
Okay.
Like a, I don't know what you call a finance guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's like 65 years old, an old financial teacher looking guy, just this old guy, glasses, comes in. He's got the Stephen Wright thing going on as verbally. Just feels like he doesn't want to be there.
It's very dry.
Oh, just sits down and he's just like, "Do you have fever? Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have," you know, he's going through all this other shit. "Do you have heart palpitations? Do you have shortness of breath?" You know, before I can even answer him, he's on to the next thing because he's just not listening. He's already marking it all. No.
Right, right.
So I'm like, I say to him, I say, you know, I get through that whole thing. And he's like, "Show me where it hurts." And I'm pointing to the different spots of my fucking arm and whatnot. And he's like, yeah. And he comes over and he does all the twisting and twitching and bullshit on my arm. You know, trying to find the hot spots. And he does, and he sits me back, gets me off the table and sits me back in the chair. And he's like, "Well, here's what I think it is, but we're going to go, before I make any diagnosis, we're going to go shoot you, and we're going to go and do a scan to make sure that it's not a torn tendon or a torn rotator or a separated shoulder or broken bone." I was like, "Okay, fair enough." So at the end of this conversation, this is going somewhere, I swear.
Okay.
But at the end of the conversation with this, he says to me just off the cuff, he goes, "You're not related to a Finnish bass player in a rock band, are you?" And I was like, "Huh?"
Is that on the checklist?
I was like, "No, I'm not. But who's the band?" And I don't know where he's going with this. So he goes, "Yeah, there's a band, you probably never heard of them before, called Nightwish."
Nice.
And I said to him, I said, "Not only am I familiar with this band, but I interviewed Floor Jansen during the pandemic." And he, all of a sudden, this lifeless drone of a doctor wakes completely up. Now he's alive. He's like, dude, Facebook, that, you know, all of a sudden I went from Mr. Aiken to dude. Like immediately, it's like, dude, I love that band. Oh, they're so great. Floor's fantastic. And who was the other singer? And then when I knew the name of the other singer, he's like, oh my God, you really are a fan. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Just fix me. God damn it, please. But we had this 10-minute conversation about Finnish metal. And I, and he, once he left, you know, he was all happy and whatever. But I, when he left, I was like, okay, this doesn't happen to anybody else ever. But to me, it happens that, that I run into somebody that kind of is into what I do.
Right. You right. know,
and I need him to help me here. So, and he could not have been nicer. I mean, dude, as a life lesson to everybody, if you're at the doctor or something that you know is going to take a long time, be nice, kiss their ass. Because by just doing that little thing, talking to this guy about Finnish metal, which God knows why he thought I looked like the bass player from Nightwish. You know,
yeah, I'm trying just, to find a photo or something. Like nothing's really like popping up. Did you look when
I didn't look. I think it isn't that guy's name Tomas Kopapainen. Like we interviewed his brother that's in that we both interviewed his brother that's in another band.
Like that's the guitar keyboard says keyboards piano Tomas Holopainen.
Didn't we both interview his brother?
Yeah. I thought I interviewed that guy. Did I not interview that guy?
Well, maybe you did. Maybe that's the guy. I don't know.
Yeah. But the bass players look to be.
Well, he might have been wrong too.
Koskinen.
Dude, as far as I know, he could have been wrong about the person being the bass player too.
There's two guys that have been in the band named Jukka, J-U-K-K-A.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about Nightwish. And that's the funny thing. I'm not a huge fan of Nightwish. I know them and I've interviewed them and I could recite the two names that I did, Annette Olson and Floor Jansen. Floor because I interviewed her. Annette because I talked about her with Floor.
Yeah. <know? laughs>
But I'm no Nightwish guy. But I made nice with the guy. This guy ran me through like a rocket. I had the full battery of tests. I had my prescription. I had my, you know, instructions, all the horse shit that comes with a normal full day of doctoring. Yeah. 2 hours from the time I went into the place and did the initial paperwork to leaving the place. I think it was like 2 hours and 15 minutes with MR or with CAT scan or MRI or whatever it was that they stick you in there and scan. And then the x-rays and everything, 2 hours, 15 minutes. It was an amazing day at the doctor. Other than the diagnosis. Yeah. Other than the diagnosis.
Right.
Yeah. So
now you have a new primary care physician.
Yeah, really. I would take him in a minute. I'll take Dr. Nightwish any day.
This guy kind of looks more like me than he looks like you. So I don't know.
Well, maybe if that guy ate himself, then he'd look like me. I don't know. I think it was probably, don't forget, it's wearing a mask too. So you put a mask on, it's just the beard and the beard sticking out the bottom of the mask. And I don't know. I don't know. I didn't care. I used it to make nice to try and get me to try desperately to get him to stick a needle in my shoulder to fucking make it feel better, which they did not do.
Nice.
Which again, they said, no needle. We're going to give you prednisone and you're going to take those pills. And that's a slower fix, but it's a stabler fix.
Here's an Advil 2.
Yeah. Pretty. Oh, that was the thing. They said, we want you to keep taking the ibuprofen, but mix in Tylenol as well. Go back to one than the other than the other. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me with this shit? Aspirin? Why don't you just tell me to drink two beers and fucking mellow out or smoke a half a joint?
Why don't you just drink 8 glasses of water?
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you flush the pain away?
Maybe they could have. I listen to a lot of history podcasts and they're always talking about like, you know, doctors like, you know what we should probably do is you know, bleed you. Like that was always but to get rid of the infection. I mean, you know, let's bleed you,
dude. At this point, they could cut this fucking arm off, and I'd be fine with it. It's nonstop, and it's like, you know, and look, the work thing and whatever, it is what it is. I mean, I've actually made it work. even the podcasts I've made work. I mean, I've struggled through a couple. I'm sure if you go back three episodes of this show, that first one I did, I know I went running to the bed the second we finished right. and wrapped both of my ice packs on it. But, you know, I mean, it's better. It's just not all the way there. And man, when it acts up, it really acts up. But the thing that's driving me nuts is I'm missing shows now.
Yeah.
I missed Ellefson, which I really wanted to go see just because, you know, Dave's my friend as well as, you know, a band that I kind of wanted to see.
Yeah, and I was going to bring playing classic Megadeth. I'd love it.
Yeah. I wanted to see that show here. And then the next day I was going to take them over to Pinball PA and we were going to have a pinball day with those guys. Well, that all got canceled, but you know, and of course, you know how it goes. You can offer them. Well, you can still go if you want, but I won't be there.
Yeah.
What's that going to do to somebody that travels the country? Yeah. Well, then there's no reason to go. So that didn't happen. Now I'm missing Queensryche next week, you know, because there's no way I'm going to be. So now I'm going to miss Queensryche and Marty Friedman and Trauma, all three bands that I wanted to see. You know,
big Trauma fan you are.
Well, I not a big one, but I haven't seen them. So, you know, anybody I haven't seen, I'd like to see. And the truth is, and you could probably relate to this more than anything, that fucking Pantera weekend I have coming up with the Pittsburgh thing in one day. And then the next one, the Knotfest is hooking us up for an indie.
Yeah.
That's starting to inch around the corner where I see no end in sight for this shoulder. I know it's still a ways away. It's what, 4 months away.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, I talked to the doctor today and I was like, well, what if this doesn't work? They're like, well, if it doesn't work, we're going to send you to the specialist and then they're going to either make a recommendation or they're going to schedule surgery. So if you do that math, surgery is going to be surgery plus 90 to minimum to heal. You know, if they're doing major muscle surgery or rotator cuff surgery, 90 days to heal is probably quick.
You know? See, what you gotta do, Chris, is you're going to have to go back to the old days of Chris Akin. You're going to have to put those Pantera tickets on a tack board, and you're going to have to get the surgery, and you're going to have to look forward to this Pantera show, and it's just life, coming back full circle for you.
I am not going to lie to you, and it's so funny that you bring that up, because I swear on my kids' lives, I opened up the fucking Call Me Chris book this week and read that chapter in an attempt to force myself to tough this out and get through it.
Yeah.
I am not kidding you. I had that exact same thought.
It's yeah. And for listeners that don't know Chris, when Chris was in his burn accident in the 90s, one thing that got him through it was a Pantera show was coming up. So yeah. It was kind of a goal to get through all the surgeries and get out and, you know, get yourself to the Pantera show.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll come full circle. And now you're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to do it again for the same band. Even that's the crazy thing. But I will be there. I'll tell you that now. I don't give a shit how much I'm hurting. I'm going to see Pantera. There's
right.
No fucking way I'm missing Pantera shows. Not for an arm, not for a head. No.
Well, speaking of shows, I'll dive into my last few days.
Hey, you have a much better story than I do.
Right. You probably should have went with mine first. Everybody's already shit. But no, it's funny. Towards the end of the show last week when we were recording, like I started just like seasons are changing. And like I typically get like my allergies just flare up and like every my nose stops up and I'm, you know, constantly fighting with you know, some sort of infection and whatnot. So towards the end of our show the other day, I could really feel it like just tightening up.
Right.
And so Thursday, like all day, I was just like not feeling good and just laying around and just not feeling it.
Right.
And so Friday rolls around and Friday, Life of Agony, 30th anniversary of River Runs Red. They're playing the album in its entirety. It's right down the road, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't even, like, honestly, not very many bands would have came through town, and I would have gone. Like, I just was not feeling it, but I had to see this.
Sure.
And they're also one of those bands that they never play the Midwest. They play they play New York, and then they play Europe. That's right. About it.
Yep.
And, like, you know, they might do an L.A. show or something, but, like, a random show in Louisville, Kentucky is few and far between for that band, so... I message I message Alan.
Okay.
I'm like, you know, excited to see the show. What time are you guys playing? He's like, oh, we're still headed to the venue or whatever. And then around 5 o'clock, he sends me he took a picture of the set times and sent them to me.
Okay.
So they play at 10. I'm like, 10 o'clock on a Friday. like, all right. So I was starting to feel a little bit better. You know, we got ready. We went out. We grabbed. Well, I actually bought tickets for this.
Look at you.
Because I didn't even go to any of the. You know, I've had Alan.
You had Alan on the show.
I've had him on like three times. I've had everyone in the band, everyone of the original band on.
Have you?
Nina's been on. Joey Z was on. Sal was on. Like, I mean, everybody's been on the show at some point.
Okay.
Joey Z was like episode 11.
Sure.
Like, that was way back in the day. But one of the bands I can truly say, like, original members have all been on the show.
Okay.
So he says 10 o'clock. I'm like, all right. So we actually rolled up. We got there about 9:30. Sick of It All was ending. You know, walked in. There were about 300, a little bit over 300 people in this club. You know, okay. it's a smaller club. So it was pretty packed. 300 people sure. was a packed crowd.
Was it too small of a club or was it a right size club?
It was just about right. Like, I think it probably holds closer to 500-600. So it was about half full. So, you know, everybody was spaced out, you know, pretty well.
That's
and,
cool.
You know, went in, bought a shirt as I'm repping today. I bought a shirt and tickets because I honestly, just to kind of go back, man, you and I have talked over the years about Life of Agony, but truly one of my favorite bands. Like when I was talking to my wife, cause my wife had never really heard them. And we were on our way home and she goes, had I heard this in the 90s, I probably would have loved it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like when I was into Korn and Deftones and all that stuff, like Life of Agony was right there. Like they were on par with one of my favorite bands. And even if you go and listen to early 12 volt negative earth stuff that I did in the 90s, I mean, like now seeing Life of Agony now, I'm like, ooh, we kind of did rip them off a little bit, didn't we?
Nice. You know. I'm just curious, and we'll get back to your story in a minute, but I just am curious for you as a fan, because I know my opinion start to fit. I love the band.
Yeah.
I love everything except Broken Valley.
You know, that's funny. Broken Valley came out in what year was that? Like 2011 or something?
Something like that. I'll find it here in a minute.
I've got them pulled up here.
Let's see. It pulled up.
All right.
Because I'm trying to left hand wing this stupid thing. And believe me, that ain't easy.
Broken Valley, 2005. I guess I was way off. I just don't remember listening to this album. Like
it was when it was over. I'll send it to you. I didn't realize you were that big of a fan, but I have we had them in for an extreme session.
Oh, nice.
And I have it. I have the 3-song extreme session that we did. They just, it's fun. You'll laugh your ass off when you hear it. Not the they did 2 songs.
Okay.
2 acoustic songs. And then Keith throws it to me, who I was the kind of MC, because the radio guy. And they, Keith is like, what do you want to do? Do you want to do some questions or something? And I just go, no, go ahead, play another song. And he goes, well, that's kind of all we have.
That's all we have. Acoustic.
They didn't know how to play any of their other stuff acoustically, but they were cool. I mean, they have an unplugged record out there somewhere, don't they? But
yeah, I just saw that
back in the day, they didn't even know 2 songs in that era. They didn't know more than two to play, but then they just hung out for hours. I'll give them much credit.
Yeah.
Keith, who's super, super shy, or now Mina, but then he was Keith.
Right.
You know, Keith could not have been cooler talking to every single fan, taking every picture. And back then it was before they had cool cell phone pictures. That was the little flip ugly pictures. So you had people with like cameras, you know, to take pictures with Life of Agony. And they took every photo, signed every, there was guys coming up with every stupid album and bootleg and they signed. I'll give them credit over pretty much any other band I've ever seen. Signed every piece of everything that said their name on it and could not have been cooler. So props to that. And I've always been a huge fan too. So,
Then it kind of goes into this celebration. Cause like, once again, it's the River Runs Red. They play the album in its entirety.
It's awesome.
Start to finish with the breaks in it, with the, you know, the school called me today, you know, like all that stuff. Like they had all those, which is funny. Cause I think a lot of that is Sal. So I was actually wondering if they re-recorded any of that stuff. Cause honestly, if you watch the documentary that they put out a couple of years ago, Sal might not have ever even been in the band.
Like, right.
I mean, they edited him the fuck out of that band.
I'll tell you how you'll be able to tell if they re-recorded it without Sal. If they put this out on like a DVD release.
Yeah. It'd be like, fuck them.
We're not going to pay that motherfucker. No way.
But you know, obviously they come out and just moment one, just start crushing it.
Right.
And let me pull this up because I am terrible with band or song titles. But they come out, and obviously this time, you know, starts out the only thing I had an issue with, and I really wish they would have done this, and I wish they would have done what Metallica did when Metallica played the Black Album, and they play it in reverse order, right? Because this album is very top heavy. And so, okay, like, by the time they got to Method of Groove and stuff like that, I was just like, all right.
I'd rather hear Weeds now, or I'd rather hear, right, you know, Lost to 22 or something.
Funny you say that. So they do the album in its entirety. The one thing that the crowd, which, you know, we said was about 300 people there, it blew my mind how many people were singing every single word to every single song, not just this time and through, like every song.
Right.
And like you could feel in the air just how much this album meant to everybody that was there.
Right.
Like, I mean, even me, like I was actually joking in one of my recent interviews that I like to just kind of stand back and watch the show and have a good time. Mm-hmm. But I was like hands in the air, singing all the words and just like, you know, having a blast. And I just really like took a second and looked around and watched everybody just like really feeling all those lyrics and stuff,
right,
and just how much this album must have meant to so many people in that room.
That's awesome.
Let's see, I actually wrote down a couple of notes to make sure I got everything.
All right.
I honestly didn't realize how great of a bass player Alan was. Like just watching him play and hearing him and stuff, just like really like focusing in on the band itself. You know, Joey killed every solo, was on point. The guitar tone was on point. Alan was on point. Veronica on drums, she fucking murdered it. Like, yeah, I was nice. Just like, Jesus Christ. I mean, she was killing it from like moment one, and she's a fun social media follow. She's okay. She's fun to watch on. She does a lot of like quick videos and stuff. And they were on tour with Doyle at one point. And she was like doing this thing where she'd walk up to Doyle with their camera phone and tell her like a dad joke or something and run off and shit like that. But yeah, it was the band was great. And they did play a handful of songs after the album.
So okay.
They did do Lost at 22. They did, one something off the new album,
The scars or whatever. These scars are my pain or something.
Yeah, that song. Another song off of Ugly. And then they did, they actually closed with Weeds, which I was just like, really? Like,
yeah, I like that song, but it was really poppy.
Yeah.
And it really did, you know, for me, that was when Keith's voice changed.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have that, well, I want to do it now. I do it. You know, he didn't have that going anymore on that album, on the whatever that was, that something Sun.
Soul Searching Sun,
but yeah, there's better tunes on that than Weeds. You know, you could have given me Heroin Dreams and I'd be thrilled. That's the fucking jam.
What's funny is like it is I was such a huge fan of River Runs Red, and then Ugly took me a minute. Like, don't get me wrong, like Ugly took me a few listens, but I love Ugly now.
Yeah, it's great.
But then Weeds came out, and Weeds came out when Keith left the band. Like I don't even know how close it was.
Like they wrote for Wit.
Well, it came out and then just Keith quit. So it was like kind of dead in the water when it came out.
Right.
And it was super, super poppy. And I just never got into it. But seeing it live, I was like, all right, it's not too bad. But I do wish they would have closed with something other than Weeds. But
yeah, Weeds they could open with, actually.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to, they could open with Weeds because it's fast and people would know it. So, you know, people would get into it real quick and then, yeah. And then go right into River Runs Red. And that would be pretty sweet. But yeah, closing with Weeds, that's kind of odd.
Yeah, they did Lost at 22, Other Side of the River, Weeds, and then the song off the new album, plus all of River Runs Red. But I mean, killer show. Like, yeah. And I wasn't feeling that great, so I left like right after the show and just texted Alan, was just like, great show. You know, I have to get him on the podcast. I think, you know, talking about coming on next month.
Okay.
Kind of coming on talking about it, because it just I don't know, man. There was something special about going to see that. And that, like I said, I wasn't feeling great. So the fact that I like left the house for anything, like right. That was one of the few things that would get me out of the house.
Sure. Dude, not that I'm trying to run traffic here, but if you can get them to come and do this when we record. As like a because I would love, I don't generally do interviews where I talk history, but I think that would be okay here. To right. talk like the history of Life of Agony with him a little, because I know you will, and I have a million questions I'd like to ask him about back in the day, especially about the Wit year and a half, whatever that was, you know, because that was, I saw that show and it was so good. It was the best Life of Agony show I ever saw was with Wit. It was really, really good.
I was trying to think about how many times I saw Life of Agony back in the day. I think it was probably 4, and then this would probably be 5. So I know I saw him with Typo a couple of times, and then I saw him open for Ozzy. But I know there was a time after the Ozzy show I saw him, because I have a photo with Keith, and then Keith signed it. So obviously okay. I saw him again after the Ozzy sure. show, like which would have been, I think that was January 96. So.
Okay. Yeah, I saw him a few times. Didn't they do Ozfest? They did Ozfest at some point, didn't they?
I think Ozfest was with Wit, right?
I think maybe.
I think that was one of the reasons why they had to kind of get him together really quick was because they had Ozfest to do.
Well, why not? He's been singing back. He's been singing for Ozzy for years, allegedly.
Allegedly.
You know. Yeah, no, I don't remember if that was a Wit show or not. I did see him with that, but I ain't gonna lie, Ozfest, I was drunk from 10 o'clock on, so, you know, I just remember, if it's the same Ozfest that I think it was, I think that's the same one that Devil Driver kind of debuted on.
Okay.
And Devil Driver, here in Cleveland, Devil Driver came on at 10:30, like they opened the Ozfest, and they were on a side stage, and it was pouring rain, like, torrential, like typhoon type rain. Didn't stop Dez and his boys one iota. They just came out and murdered, and people were moshing on this asphalt freaking, it was just a driveway that they set up a stage on. Holy shit, there were so many people at 10:30 in the morning coming out of this thing needing hospital care. I was like, you guys are not, like, you know, I'm a mosh guy, and I wasn't getting in there at 10:30. I was like, man, we got a whole day of this. I'm not going to kill myself at 10 o'clock. No. It's crazy.
Let's see here. Ozfest 98. Ozzy, okay. Tool, Megadeth, Limp Bizkit, Soulfly, Motorhead, Seven Dust, Coal Chamber, Life of Agony, Incubus, Melvin, Snot, Kilgore, Monster Voodoo Machine, System of a Down, and Ultra Spank.
Yeah, that's before that. So it wasn't okay. that one. Yeah, different show. Different show I'm talking about. They all blur together when you went and saw it.
They really do, yeah.
You know, the Ozfest, I can't remember which, you know. I know I saw so many bands there at the Ozfest, you know. I don't know when. It was 98, 99. I think they did one in 90, what, 6?
Yeah, 96 would have been the first one. I think 97.
Black Sabbath, the Pantera one, right?
The first Ozfest was like the one with, I was like Fear Factory.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what it was.
Let's see. That's not what I want to do. Yeah, the first Ozfest was like Neurosis and I think Coal Chamber was on that one too.
Well, yeah, because Sharon was managing them. That's why Dez was on with Devil Driver. Because Dez just kept right on riding the Sharon bandwagon.
And the Power Man 5000 before they went all spacey. Yeah. There's actually a really good live album with that. Cellophane was a band that was on that.
Cellophane. Now you're naming bands I haven't thought of a year. You named Cellophane and Kilgore, two bands that I loved back in the day.
Yeah. That Cellophane song is actually pretty good.
Yeah, they were good. And Kilgore was good. I mean, I used to love the side stage at the Ozfest. So many killer bands that you would just hear, like bands that would be up and gone. You know, they'd be up and then 2 weeks later, you never heard of them again.
What? Yeah, the very first thing that was called Ozfest was the Ozzy Danzig Biohazard Sepultura tour. I actually have a backstage pass from that says Ozfest, but that was like 95, 96.
Oh, wow.
And then they did this Ozfest live album. Cold Chamber, Cellophane, Earth Crisis, Power Man 5000, Neurosis, Fear Factory, Biohazard, Sepultura, Slayer, and Ozzy.
That's a good set. That's a good day of rock.
Yeah. Ozzy with the great classic Perry Mason.
Yeah.
I actually like that song. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, you can have it.
It's a stupid, like the lyrics and stuff are stupid, but it's a pretty rocking tune. What's his name? Joe Holmes. I was like, I almost said Joe C, but I was like, I don't think Joe C ever played guitar for Oz.
No, Joe Holmes.
Let's grab it. Let's pull it. Pull up a couple of news stories before we dive into some recommendations. We
okay?
Yapping. Let's see here. I have one good one for you. A couple of tour announcements. How about we go with that first?
Man? Okay.
Speaking of Cold Chamber and everybody. Mudvayne announces a summer 2023 tour with Cold Chamber, Gwar, Nonpoint, and Butcher Babies.
Well, here's my money. Take it.
Right?
That is such an easy sell to me. Just take my money. I'm going.
I think it's... I am of the era, so it's still weird for me. Like, I don't... Like, I feel like this would be a Cold Chamber tour with Mudvayne. Like, I agree with that.
It
blows my mind that Mudvayne is this big. And more power to them. Like, it's crazy. Like, they're the classic hit, you know, had the big hits, went away, come back, and they're bigger than ever. Like, it's because, you know, I just I saw Mudvayne in small clubs back in the day.
Sure.
It's just, and now they're going out and they're playing like the big amphitheaters. I mean, they're playing.
Yeah. They were big though at the end.
Yeah.
Because I saw them at the end of their run.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was near the end of their run. I think they might have one more album after, but it was them, Nothing Face and Disturbed.
Yeah.
And Disturbed, you know, you would think now you can't even imagine Mudvayne opening for, or Disturbed opening for Mudvayne.
And they're playing your favorite place, Blossom.
Yeah, which means I won't be going. Give me my money back. That venue sucks a dick. I ain't going to that. You know, yeah. I'll never go to Blossom, but I do. I would love to go see that show, you know, because Cold Chamber, especially. I think Cold Chamber, the reason they're probably not the headliner is because they've already done a stop start.
Yeah.
They already did a comeback and it didn't do anything.
Yeah, it is crazy that they're the ones. And then Gwar kind of being just kind of a middle act is kind of crazy. I mean, this is a solid tour from
it is,
you know, Nonpoint and Butcher Babies also. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with any of these bands.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I may go to this. I know I hate Blossom. I really do fucking despise that venue. But I have enough connects in the scene of that show that I know I can make a call. I know that they'll give me tickets and I know that they'll be in the pavilion.
Right.
And just because I know all of those things, I may just go just because I do want to see. I haven't seen Nonpoint in years. You know,
I saw them a few years ago. Great band.
I love them. I don't know why I haven't seen them in years. They probably just haven't been here. I don't think they've been here in Cleveland in like 6 or 7 years. And if they have, I haven't known about it.
Well, you know, Rob did the Rob's pick from the kit every week on the podcast for a long time. And last time they were here, they were here with POD, and I took my oldest son with me. And before the show, Rob and I sat in my Jeep and like we did a quick interview, you know.
Right.
And then my son, who really doesn't care anything about this music and stuff, so we go into the show and we're sitting there and Nonpoint's playing and Rob's on the drum kit and my son goes, "Wasn't that guy just in our Jeep?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, Dad knows these people." Like,
yeah, that's my world.
Kind of cool sometimes.
Yeah, you know that 12 negative Earth thing that you look at the wall and you never know anything? That's why.
But yeah, it's that's going to be a fun show to go see. And then another show is announced that I it's a one-off. It's on my birthday. It's in Tampa, Florida.
Right.
And it's the original Misfits and Megadeth. I'm like, dude, that's a show.
That's a good show.
With also with Fear on the date. But yeah, original Misfits, Megadeth, Fear, Saturday, June 24th in Tampa, Florida.
So would you travel all the way to Florida for that?
Oh,
it's a pricey ticket.
Yeah, it would be fun though. I've seen the Misfits since they've come back. The first year they did Riot Fest, it was like their second show back, and I had a blast. But obviously with Megadeth opening, which is crazy, what world are we living in that the Misfits are headlining an arena with Megadeth opening? Like it makes no sense to me.
Well, they went away and they never came all the way back.
True.
They're it's a totally different genre, and this is going to make me sound like the old guy in the room, but I'm going to use it anyway.
All right.
This is why Twisted Sister, a perennial bar band or a little bigger than a bar band, can always come back and play the biggest rooms all around the world.
Oh yeah.
Because they never come all the way back. They come back, they do two shows, they get everybody amped up that sees that they can still play. And then they disappear for another 3 or 4 or 5 years. And it's like, oh, better go see them because they may never be back. Same with the Misfits. Dude, did you see Glenn Danzig this week? Some trolls were trolling him on Twitter or wherever, saying about what a joke he is and what a joke the Misfits are. He had the best comeback of all time. He came back and said, "I'm a joke. Have you ever seen my career? Of course I'm a joke. It's all a joke." He just goofed on his own band and it was like, shut the guy down cold.
Just leaned right into it. That's awesome.
He just took it. He said, "Yeah, so what? I still take your money, dummy." You know,
right?
It was fantastic. I don't necessarily. I have horror stories about Glenn Danzig. I definitely have a terrible story about him, which I could tell or not. But that's a good comeback for that guy. You know, to actually take on the trolls and slam them with his own. Yeah, it's a joke, but you're still paying for it. So, ha ha, I win.
I think it's great. I didn't even realize he had any kind of like online presence. So good for him.
Yeah. I just happened to see somebody floated the article through one of the feeds and I looked at it. I was like, wow, look at that.
This headline alone is going to actually, this might help you get through your shoulder.
All right.
Bret Michaels is working on an inspirational book called Bet on Yourself. Don't crash and burn, crash and learn.
Shut it. Bret Michaels can go away. Another phony, and honestly, the most phony guy in rock. I don't care what anybody says, dude. We on was it Chris Aiken Presents or whatever, one of my dumb shows that I do. We had Pete Evick on, his guitar player and his solo band.
Okay.
And Eric, I didn't even bring it up. I was just trying to coast through the interview and I wasn't going to make a deal about Bret being a dick or whatever. But I've had nothing but bad experiences with Bret.
Right.
Numerous bad experiences with him. At shows, on interviews, everywhere. Bret has consistently been an asshole to me. And so I have no love for Bret Michaels at all. But we had Pete on, and Pete was like, "Oh, it must have been a bad day because Bret's not, he's the nicest guy." And I'm like, "Yeah, whatever, dude." he may have everybody else fooled. And when the camera's on, he puts on the big smile and then gives you the whole, "Hey, I'm here for you, friends. I'm one of you." But really, he's just a dick.
Nope,
at least in my opinion.
All right. Poison singer Bret Michaels is putting the finishing touches on his new inspirational book, titled Bet on Yourself, Don't Crash and Learn, .. Crash and learn. Don't crash and burn, crash and learn. Tentatively set for a fall 2023 release, so maybe he'll make the rounds. We can get him on this show. Alan Robert, Brett Michaels.
I don't know. Talk to Brett Michaels. I'll take that week off. I'm telling you now. I have turned down at least 5 times interviewing Brett Michaels because I'll never interview him again.
The book will serve as a motivational, inspirational, and entrepreneurial guide where Brett will take readers on a journey, highlighting lessons, pulling from highs and lows of his own life in an effort to realize the unbroken fighting spirit in us all, Chris.
The only thing that would be inspirational is if that stupid big block would have done the rest of its job at the Tonys. That's it. Chris, not a fan of the human being. As weird as that is, not a fan of the human being. I actually still have the Poison records, and I do pull them out every now and again. Don't hate Poison. Hate the player.
His first book is called Brett Michaels' Auto Scrapography. The hell is that supposed to mean?
It's probably about, he probably collects cars or something. You know, as one of us common people, he's out there collecting fucking 400 cars or whatever.
And he was also the banana on The Masked Singer, if you didn't know.
Oh, well, in that case, talk about bringing my interest level up now.
So actually, I'll drop a name here.
All right.
I was texting with a friend of the show, CJ Pierce of Drowning Pool, the other day.
Yes.
And he like randomly hit me with like, he's like, yeah, crazy stuff's going on over here. And I'm like, oh yeah, what? And he like texted me that Ryan McCombs was back in the band.
Sure.
I was like, oh shit. That's crazy. I don't even know any backstory, anything like that. So I don't know what's going on, but yeah. Drowning Pool rejoined by singer Ryan McCombs.
I like that personally. I liked Drowning Pool. I mean, obviously we all liked it when Dave was in the band.
Yeah.
I liked it when Ryan was in. I'm a big fan of Soil's Throttle Junkies and Redefine records. Those two records are just outstanding, especially Throttle Junkies. I think that's what it's called. You know, I mean, just great record. I like Ryan. And Ryan, I don't know if you know Ryan or not personally, but if you ever meet Ryan, just the nicest dude you're ever going to meet. He's really cool, fun dude. So, I have no problem with that. I'm, you know, the only thing that I saw something today, and maybe it's in this article or maybe it's in another article, but somebody was talking about how it happened that they came back, and they kind of hinted at the Jason Moreno, who was the last singer.
Yeah.
They stopped getting along with.
Okay.
It was hinted. And I think it was a Tim King interview. Maybe the guy that owns Pavement.
Yeah. The guy from Soil.
Yeah. But I think that's who it is.
Yeah.
And he basically said, yeah, the first Ryan went off to do his thing, and then the next guy came in and it ran its course. And then with Jason, we kind of didn't agree on things anymore, so we brought Ryan back. That's kind of how he worded it. So I don't know if some mudslinging is going to come or not, but that's what I read today. I'm excited for Ryan though. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, Jason Moreno had a cool voice. Like he came on Talk to Me with CJ, probably 6-8 months ago. I don't know. It all runs together at this point. But yeah, sure. Jason's always been super nice. And then Jason had a side band too with Billy Gray of Fozzy. So like Jason's been around like in the ether for a while.
Sure.
With the show and stuff like that. So yeah, crazy to see. And you know, crazy to see Ryan back in the Drowning Pool.
Let those bodies keep hitting the floor. That's what I say.
What a band though. I mean, that like that first album is so big that they just keep going. Like,
yeah. With Sinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just keeps on. I mean, they had the song Sinner, and they had Bodies, and that's pretty much maintained that band. Cause have they had any other hits?
I wouldn't say anything. Let's see if out of curiosity on the, Drowning Pool on Spotify. There's Bodies, Tearaway, Sinner. And then Step Up is the fourth.
Yeah, Step Up too, yeah.
That's a good one. And then A Finger and a Fist. I don't know that song.
Yeah, that's probably after the fact.
Yeah, but Desensitized is what Step Up is on. Is that, which singer is that?
Yeah, that one.
Is that the Gong or Bong or whatever that guy's
Gong
name was?
Jones.
Yeah. Oh man, good old Drowning Pool, man. Yeah, but great dudes. Like you know, I've told those stories on the podcast many a time. Like back when I was in 12 Volt Negative Earth, like we played shows with Drowning Pool, and like it's crazy how many people from like back in that day are still in the music business at some level of like how many people like I either. Like even like the guy from Saliva today that
I saw that. That sucks. Yes,
like randomly
brain aneurysm or something.
Saliva guitarist Wayne Swinney suffers brain hemorrhage. Like I remember Saliva back playing shows in Nashville before they were signed too. They actually I'll never forget this, man. Saliva came into this club that it held less than 200 people, and they brought their own soundboard. And I remember thinking at the time, I was just like, it's like, you can do that, you know, because I mean, the club we always played, they had a shitty 8, 10, 12 track, you know, soundboard that was just for vocals and like the kick drum. And they fucking wheeled in like they sounded great. Like, and when they got signed, you know, months later, I was like, all right, I get it.
Sure.
But the first band I ever saw just wheeling in their own soundboard into like a shitty punk rock club.
That's awesome. Dude, just a quick plug for a friend of both of ours. Has nothing to do with the show, though. But if you like Saliva, check out our friend Scott Bowling.
Yeah.
Who's having Josie Scott on his show, April 8th, I believe. So that's good company with Bowling. Check that out.
That's a good company.
Scott Bowling.
Oh, man. I think that'll do it, man. Let's dive into the reviews and recommendations this week.
Okay. You can go first.
Would you like
or you me want to me go to go first?
Go ahead and go first.
Yeah. All right. TV-wise, I'm going to tell you, I've watched nothing but interrogation videos all week. I am stuck on this stuff just because they kill so much time, and I've been in bed so long that I need stuff that eats up 6 or 8 hours at a shot. You know, so that it's just mindless. So I really haven't watched Dick on TV other than the debut of Ghost, which is on Stars, which is a spinoff of the show Power.
Okay.
Season 3 started, and that was okay. Kind of like whatever with that kind of stuff. But I watched the one that I won't say. I'll wait till you say it. But
okay.
And then musically, I told you this before we got started. I'm going to claim it now. Save the clip, and if I say anything different at the end of the year, I want you to throw me off the show forever. The album of the year in the extreme / death metal market is this album, Chelsea Grin, Suffer in Heaven.
All right.
This thing is a monster. I mean a monster. It is 27 minutes of just getting pummeled in the face with a sledgehammer. It is extremely brutal, extremely heavy. They're doing all of that. That's not really weird, but those really down-tuned stop starts that like Amur and bands like that do all the time in the middle of just a death metal fury. It is fucking amazing. It's by far the best. I don't know that they call this death metal because it's a little more rhythmic, I guess. But it is the best album I have heard in that genre in at least a year, maybe two. So good. Chelsea Grin, Suffer in Heaven.
All right. Musically, been diving into this new Bury Tomorrow album, which fucking some of the coolest vocals I've heard in a long time on that album. And then the new Gideon album, both upcoming interviews, but I've just truly been listening out of, you know, pleasure, not just listening because, you know, how did you record this second track? You know, like truly listening to it because I want to, man. So a lot of great stuff coming out, man.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is, dude? And maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think we're done with the wave of pandemic records.
Yeah.
I think that wave of miserable records is over. Not miserable sounding. I mean, there's a lot of good music in there, but miserable themed. Like all of those records were pretty ugly because people were going through an ugly time. Now it seems like we're kind of getting past that to where people are having more fun and being more creative. So I think we might be getting toward that phase.
Yeah. And then I released my interview with Johannes from Avatar this week. So
nice.
Make sure you go check that out too. That was a fun one. Always fun to start the talk with hearing a guy talk about taking his dog to like a Chihuahua dog park and dressing him up and, you know, metal clothing and things like that. So
is that the tour that Spirit Box jumped off of because of Ronnie?
That's Falling in Reverse.
Falling in Reverse. Yeah. All right. Never mind. I'm stupid.
No. Yeah. What made me think of it was you were talking about the pandemic records and stuff. So like the last Avatar record came out like during the pandemic or right before it. I can't remember because I was living at my old house when I interviewed Johannes. So it was like right around the pandemic. And then this new album comes out, like with Avatar 2 coming out. Okay. And I was like, I actually asked him, I was like, this is going to sound like a dumb question, but you know, does the Avatar movies have any, do you guys have any issues with that? With like the SEO?
Right.
He kind of answered it more. Those movies are stupid. But I was actually asking him more.
Yeah.
You know, do you guys have issues with the same name?
Sure.
He said they all went as a band to see Avatar 1 as kind of a joke.
Okay.
And then they were going to go see Avatar 2 as a band, but they couldn't like figure out a day off to do it.
Right.
And I was like, you got to do that just for like TikTok or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like
just to show you buying the tickets. Exactly. Like
just, you know, Avatar going to see Avatar.
Avatar at Avatar. Of course. That's they should hire you to be their social manager.
Well, you know, yeah, maybe somebody will listen to my ideas around here. But and the other part too is, you know, he said that like when the band, because the band started like 20 plus years ago,
right?
And he said that they didn't realize that an issue of the naming the band Avatar, because even back 20 years ago, you didn't really talk about avatars. Mm-mm. as to do with like the internet, you know, people have avatars in the internet, like it was just a name back then, and like now it's like it's such a broad spectrum of things that Avatar could be now.
Well, hey, it's working for them. Killer band.
Yeah, I do love that they've kind of leaned into this, like that Dark Carnival. I figured they have a term for it, but like they've kind of leaned into that. And like I was watching like a whole live show from the other day, and all he did was like he had a balloon animal.
Right.
He made a balloon like chihuahua, like a dog, like, you know, the big wiener dog looking balloon animal, and then like threw it into the crowd and everybody freaks out. But I mean, he was up there for a good 5 minutes making this thing. People just flipped out, you know, because they're there for the show, and it's, you know, he's up there in his, you know, carnival gear on top of a staircase making this balloon animal, and people flipped out, man. It's fun that people are embracing it. Yeah, it's great.
Showmanship. It's great. Hell yeah.
All right. And let's dive into what we both watched over the week was Money Shot, the Pornhub story. Actually, I'll let you take it first, because there was a lot of stuff in there that kind of made me think of you, as in like the computer side of it, you know, talking about like certain like SEO stuff. Like they went above and beyond to make sure that if you typed, you know, searched free porn, like they were going to be the site that popped up first.
Yeah. I found it interesting, but definitely not what I wanted to see.
100%.
I found it, you know, like you said, I was fascinated. Like I'll pick one tiny part apart, but this will kind of go into 15 different parts that they did in this movie were the same thing. They picked apart the word teen.
Yeah.
And they talked about how teen doesn't actually mean teen anymore. That it just, it's a,
it means petite or whatever.
Yeah. It means petite. It doesn't mean, you know, underage girl. You know, it sort of means it's a look, you know, you look teen, but you could actually be like 26. And like, I think the one girl they were talking to was 26.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And she tags all her stuff with teen. And I mean, that was kind of, I didn't like that. It was a little too techy, and I'm a tech. So
yeah,
believe me, I'd love to be as good as those guys at Pornhub are with any of my websites to be the first. It's funny. They showed the one thing where they did a search for whatever. I went to my computer immediately and did the same search. And sure as shit, every single thing, pop up on Pornhub, pop up on Pornhub, pop up on Pornhub. I was like, God.
Well, that was also your computer, like going to like your bookmarked things. Anyway,
well, so. Dude, all I got to do to find Pornhub is type P and it comes right up. It's the, right. Where you think I use my computer for work, please.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. It was a little too techy, not enough. Hey, there's hot chicks here getting banged.
Right. It did kind of go a little bit too much into the tech side of things, a little bit too much into the scandals they have had over the years, you know, with the revenge porn and things like that. It wasn't what I was looking for in a Pornhub documentary.
Yeah. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. Right.
That's my big, how do you make a documentary about Pornhub that's not fun?
Yeah.
Look, as much as I hated the Pam and Tommy Hulu thing that they did, I won't argue that it wasn't fun. It was kind of fun because that's what you expected from the Pam and Tommy video was fun. Same with Pornhub.
Side note, I watched that Pam Anderson documentary a while back.
Oh, yeah.
And watching some of that footage of her and Tommy from that time period made me think that Sebastian or whatever his name is got the Tommy look pretty good.
Oh, he's pretty. If he wasn't 4'8", it would have been perfect. But
yeah.
Yeah,
it was funny too. I don't know if we talked about that documentary on here or not, but
not the Pam Anderson one. We talked about Pam and Tommy. Did you like that, Pam? No. Did you like that?
Yeah, the Pam Anderson one was great. I thought it was great. And it's cool that she kind of showed herself aging.
Yeah.
And you know, she's definitely older. But then like when she got on stage at the end and doing Chicago,
yeah,
looked great. Like Pam Anderson. She looked like Pam Anderson again. Yeah. So it was kind of funny to see all that. And every time I saw Tommy's kids, I just thought of Brandon, like the song, and then Brandon just beating his
knocking
ass.
I did the same thing. Dude, I'll tell you about the Pam, what is it called? Dearest Pamela or something, I think.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Pam is my number one or number two. Classic Pam. Like Tool Time Pam and early Playboy Pam, not barbed wire Pam, although that's pretty hot too, but that's not, right. bad by no means is that bad, but the pre boob job Pam is pretty goddamn perfect in Chris Aiken's eyes, you know? So Pam is always kind of my go-to. And then she was even more of my go-to because she was always with rock guys, which I'm into rock music so much that it was like, oh, she's, you know, she's fucking Tommy Lee or she's marrying Tommy Lee or she's, you know, she always dated so many famous rock guys that I just thought it made her cool. Watching the documentary and learning a lot more about her and her opening up way more than she probably bargained for when she started this documentary.
Yeah.
I like her even more.
Oh yeah.
Because she comes off as like a real person. And man, I'll tell you what, though, you do not want to fall into the trap of dating her.
You'll marry her.
God, she's the worst. And even she admits it. So it's not like I'm saying anything negative. She said it herself. She's the worst. She falls in love too quickly and then she ends up hating the guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that side of it. I mean, she's been married, what, five times?
Five times.
And even in this one, didn't she get divorced? Like, she got divorced
after they finished shooting.
During the documentary again?
Yeah.
And then, and it comes down to, she even admitted in the thing that she's never gotten over Tommy.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, how do you go in behind that and be the new boyfriend?
Yeah.
And she's dated some weird dudes too. I mean, she falls immediately in love. I think she probably bangs guys on the first or second date and falls in love. Cause like one of the dudes that I know she dated for a while and then found out was that Rick Sullivan guy. Is that his name? Solomon. Rick Solomon, the guy that that was in the Paris Hilton porn video with Paris. And then she came in after that with that fucking lunatic. So she clearly doesn't even have standards for, you know, that guy was clearly a lunatic. You could watch it on TV, his exploitive ways by releasing One Night in Paris.
Right.
And still, she's like, I'll give it a go.
I'll fix him.
Yeah. Girl that doesn't want to be in the spotlight so much. Yeah, I'll go with that guy. Guy that exploited his last girl in a porn tape. The very thing she fought against. Good idea, Pam.
Yeah, well, I would recommend the Pamela documentary. I thought
absolutely.
It was great.
Absolutely.
This money shot, the Pornhub story, not so great.
Like it's, yeah, if you're tech,
it actually just turned out boring. Like,
yeah, it was way too technical. Well, if you put the code here and you do that, yes, all right, we get it. You guys are good at SEO. We got it.
And then I was watching the at the end there where they're showing the porn being made, and you know, the director's there, and she's like, all right, we're gonna really focus on consent, you know, like. And then they're like joking about like, you know, like, what do you like? And like, what do you like? And so the wife and I, after we watched it, actually pulled the, that porn up on the phone.
Right.
And it's pretty funny to watch. It's like, I really enjoy some slight slapping on my ass, but not too much.
Yes. Shit like that.
But then at the very last thing of the porn up documentary that you hear the director go of the porn, she's like, all right, everybody break for catering or something like that.
You're right. Just
like, I guess there is catering on a porn set, maybe. Yeah.
Jesus, would you want a bunch of people breathing over a buffet line that just, you know, had 10 dicks in their mouth? I think no.
Yeah. And there was just something funny about watching the end of, like, you know, it's like, it's a wrap, you know, and then like the two people that just banged it out on camera are like just chatting it up, like, oh, that's funny. Like, haha. Like, oh, did you see who the Browns just signed? You
know, like I know, it's very weird. Very weird, but whatever. I'm going to continue to use Pornhub. I will say that. I'll just stick with Pornhub in next videos. I don't care if they made a bad documentary about it. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Pornhub was probably, sanctioned this one, but
yeah, probably not. I don't know though. There was a lot of use of the logo and stuff. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know the fair use on documentaries and things like that. So
I have to imagine Pornhub doesn't care.
Right.
They're probably, to them, that probably just makes them bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, like, they were talking about like how many people visit Pornhub a day and shit like that. It's crazy the amount of like people that go to that as a, you know, there's like more people daily go into to Pornhub than like watch the Super Bowl and shit like that. Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy how much money they make off of that site.
Well, they said, didn't they say something like it's on par with like YouTube?
Yeah.
They said it's almost like the same traffic as YouTube. How many people are on YouTube a day?
Because obviously there was some OnlyFans, you know, stuff like that. And then they also talked about, you know, how much money people are making off of Pornhub and OnlyFans. And I'm looking at my wife like, I mean, I think we're in the wrong business, babe. So check out my OnlyFans coming soon.
Yeah, there you go.
No pun intended. But, well, I think that will wrap it up for another episode of Talk To Me here on NotFest.com. If that last discussion didn't get us kicked off the website.
Nice.
If we get kicked off NotFest, check us out on OnlyFans.
That's right.
And, actually, wasn't the CMS on Pornhub for a while?
Yes, I did. When YouTube first started whacking channels for content.
Yeah.
I back then, and I think you can still do it on Pornhub, but they took my channel down because I didn't update it. I built a channel on Pornhub. I had pornhub.com/classicmetalshow and I uploaded my episodes there because I knew they weren't going to censor it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought, and I listed it as an amateur channel. Nice. I did. Yeah. I could show you, I have a content strike that's never, or a content warning strike or whatever on my YouTube channel that never goes away. Because of that link, it shows the link to the CMS episode, and it says that it was blocked because it had a hyperlink in it to Pornhub.
Nice. Too funny. All right, guys. Well, that will do it this week. So for the Talk To Me podcast, I'm Joshua Toomey.
I am Chris Aiken.
And we will talk to you guys soon.
See ya.
the Talk To Me podcast presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.